James. We are going to be in chapter 3, and I'll read our passage here in just a little bit, so we'll get there. So James chapter 3 in the New Testament, toward the end, you want to turn to chapter 3 of James. So we're going to be talking about the idea of the tongue this morning, and we're going to finish up Isaiah probably next week or the next one. I haven't figured out yet whether I'm doing one more chapter or two more. But so we are going to get there with Isaiah as we're almost done with that. But I want to take a break today and come back and continue that, finish that out next week. But as I've been thinking about the times that we're in, it was just interesting as I was starting to prepare in Isaiah this week, just kind of felt like, I don't know, led in this direction to talk about this in James. So we'll see what happens. We'll see whether it was of God or not. It has to be, right? No matter what you preach from his word, it doesn't come down to my inklings and all those different things I'm so thankful for. But I was thinking about how do we live in these times where there's a lot of polarization? No doubt as you've gone online or as you've watched TV, as you listen to others with an election coming up and all the things happening in the world, the tongue is playing such a major role, right? It always does. And all of these things. And I just wanted to look what James has to say about it. I think it's very applicable to the times that we're living in and the conversations we're having with other people. So I hope that it's beneficial for you. I know it was for me as I've studied this and was looking at it. The tongue and the importance of it. A few years ago, our family had the opportunity to travel west to explore some of the national parks. Now, we did that this summer. We went to Yosemite in California and Sequoia National Forest. But a few years ago, I actually think this was when, if my memory serves me right, this is when we candidated here at New Song and came and visited for a Sunday, that we tacked on a trip out west. So that's kind of interesting. That would have been in 2019, that we had a Sunday here and then we went on out to Yellowstone and Glacier National Park. Just beautiful areas. And we were driving back from Glacier to a hotel that we had booked in Bozeman, Montana. And I noticed that our tire pressure light came on. As you can imagine, if you know that area, if you're driving around Glacier, very remote. And so to have an issue with your car kind of brings some stress. At least it did for me as the driver. And so what ended up happening was every gas station that I could, I would put some air in that tire. I had an inkling that it was probably a nail or something like that. Well, sure enough, when we got to the hotel that night and went out the next morning, it was completely flat. But providentially, there was an auto shop, like literally 30 seconds away, you could see it. So I drove that flat tire across the parking lot to the place there. Thankfully, it didn't ruin the tire or anything. But it turns out that it was just that. It was a nail that was in the tire. And that was what was stressing me out. I had visions of like having to put the spare on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere with bears milling about. You know, you can see how that could end up. Probably not, right? Most bears aren't aggressive in that way. But yeah, it brings some anxiety there. And I was thinking about how, why do I share the story with you? It's interesting that a little tiny nail in a tire caused that much stress, to me at least. I think because I was stressed, the family ended up being stressed as well. But isn't that interesting? That small, tiny nail, so small, caused so much stress. It had such a huge impact on our lives. Think about a pebble. Have you ever had a pebble or a little rock that's in your shoe? And how much that hurts when you've got it in the wrong place and you're like, oh, I got to get that rock out of my shoe. Or think about that tiny gnat or gnats that are flying around your head. Or something like a mosquito that won't leave you alone. Small items can really cause a huge distress in our lives. They have great power and influence over us. Well, James here in his letter in the New Testament, he's telling us about a small part of our bodies that can set the world on fire. And it has the power to keep us up at night, to tear others down, to ruin someone's life, The small part of the body, of course, that I'm talking about is the tongue. And think about how small it is, but how much damage can be done with the tongue. When it's used wisely, it can make someone's day, right? Have you ever had somebody say something to you, or you said something encouraging to someone else? It has the power to literally change your day when someone encourages you with the tongue. Likewise, right, when somebody tears you down and says something, that can stick with us for years. Have you ever had somebody say something to you that has been ringing in your ears for years? Somebody influential that you wanted to hear good things from, maybe your dad or your mom, an employer, a friend, whatever it is, that something that can be with us for years. It's the power of the tongue. And James sees that power. And he's writing to God's people, to the 12 tribes and the dispersion, it says, at the beginning of James. So he's writing to these believers who are dispersed all throughout. And he says this, starting in verse 1 of James 3. "Not many of you shall become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are large, they are driven by strong winds, They are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed, and it has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Father, our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." Lord, we thank you this morning for the wisdom of your word. We thank you that it meets us where we're at in real life. And certainly when we think about the tongue, we know that that's true no matter what age we are and where we're at, what stage of life here this morning. I pray that you would speak to us through your word, that it would come through powerfully through your spirit, and that we would hear what you have to say to us through your holy word. We ask that we would have ears to hear it, and as a result, our tongues would be affected as we walk out of this place. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So James is leveling the playing field here in these verses. Did you notice that? We all have trouble with the tongue. Doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what your status in life is, what age you are. Now, if you can't talk yet, I guess, you know, we'll make that qualification. But we all struggle with the tongue, right? Doesn't matter who we are. Notice he says in verse 2, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body." So James brings out this reality that none of us are perfect, right? We all blow it. This levels us on the same field when it comes to the tongue, and he brings this out. In some ways, that's encouraging, right? That James is bringing out this truth that we all struggle in this area. We're all going to blow it. We're all going to say things that we shouldn't at times. In the first part, he talks about how those who teach will be judged with greater strictness. I'm not going to focus a whole lot on that. That's directed to me, so I'm going to have to apply that to my heart or anybody that teaches. But there's that gravity, right? That if you are teaching, your tongue, anybody teaching, our tongues will be judged, right? So that's kind of a very interesting thing to really make us think. And so James is bringing out just the importance of it, especially for teachers. They're going to be judged with greater strictness, which is true. So we won't delve too much into that, but the reality is there, the tongue, even for teachers, is so important. But none of us are perfect, even as teachers. We blow it. Have you ever said to yourself, why did I say that? I wish I could take that one back. We've all had those situations where we know what that's like. Our personalities are a little different, so maybe some of you struggle a little bit more with the tongue if you have an extroverted personality or you're a little more prone to emotion. Maybe you struggle with it more, and that's just the way it is. Our personalities are different. Some people struggle with it more than others. Those who don't just think it, right? They're sinning by thinking the wrong thing and maybe just don't say it. But think about people like the Apostle Peter. He was always sticking his foot in his mouth. He was one of those people that that was a blessing, who he was, right? That he had a lot of zeal, but could get in trouble with the tongue. We can think of many other people in Scripture where that was the case for, that being a problem. But I want to look at this passage through four different eyes, which describe the tongue. You'll find them on the back of the bulletin. But the first one is, we see the important tongue. In the first five verses, James begins with this warning about teachers being judged more strictly, as I mentioned. It's a big task, anyone teaching God's word. I gave that example at the start of how a tiny nail in my tire could cause that disruption. But James now gives the two more examples of tiny things, right, which are small, but they have a huge impact. So first off, he talks about the bit in the mouth of a horse, being able to turn the whole animal. Not all of us are horse riders, but if you know anything about horses, there's the reins and the bit that guides the horse through that little small bit that's in the mouth of the horse. Psalm 32:9 says, "Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you." So Psalm 32 brings out, don't be like the horse that can't control itself. It has to be controlled by someone else. Then James uses the example of a ship, which is very large and it's driven by strong winds. But he's stressing here how this huge ship, even bigger than a horse, right, still has this little small device called a rudder that guides, that the captain uses to turn the ship. So I think we all get what James is saying. It's these little small things that control these huge things like horses and ships. And he uses the example there of a ship. And then in verse 5, James then compares all this to the tongue. It's small, but it's very important. It has the potential to bless others or to discourage others. And I think all of us can think of situations where we have been blessed but also have been discouraged. I was thinking of one area that often this comes out. Some of you here this morning are experiencing grief in various ways. Maybe it's grief over the loss of a loved one or something very difficult that has happened in your life. And one of the things that is challenging about going through that is that sometimes people will say things that aren't helpful. You probably could raise your hand and saying amen to that one, right? If you've gone through grief and some deep waters, every once in a while somebody will, maybe well-meaning, but things are said that just are not helpful. They're trying to bring comfort, and people often are uncomfortable with grief, right? Where we don't know what to say, and then we say something, and we're trying to be encouraging, and it just isn't. I think we've all done that and been guilty of that. It can feel trite or patronizing, because that's not the word that's needed at that time, right? It doesn't mean that it's always untrue, but what is needed at that time can be hurtful. And some of you have experienced that. And so often that's why people that have experienced certain griefs in their lives and certain things are very effective in helping others in that area, because they know what it's like. They've been on the other end of it, and so they can often speak words that are very comforting and encouraging. God uses that, right? He uses the things that we go through to bless others and to encourage others, as Scripture talks about. That's one example of how the tongue can be used at times, not in the best of ways. So James is telling us that the tongue is important, even though it's small. That's the first thing. Then we see in verses 5 and 6, the inflamed tongue, where it's talking about how the forest fire, this example of how it inflames things. Rick Eschenbaugh tells the story about how his wife was busy making porcelain dolls at a doll-making class. I'm not sure what's going on there, but seems a little creepy. But she liked to make porcelain dolls. And she left the two kids at home with Dad. His name is Rick. And Melinda and Craig were home with him. And he says this, "While I was chatting with a neighbor on the front porch, the phone rang. And his son, Craig, answered the phone promptly and politely. But then, he says, my pride in him vanished as I heard my son's response to the caller's request to speak to my wife. And he said, no, Mom's not here. She's out making a baby. But my dad is here if you want to talk to him." Yeah. Thankfully, they worked that one out, right? She was out making porcelain dolls. But that's just maybe a humorous example of how the tongue can say things, right? We can laugh at that one. But the reality is that the tongue causes much distress, right? Much crying, even though that's a benign example. Verse 5 speaks of the tongue as a small spark that sets a great forest on fire. It turns into a fire that sets one's life on fire, as it says in verse 6. And so this can come through in many different ways, right? We know what gossip is like. Gossip has a way of inflaming things when we're saying things about others that we shouldn't be, because it we like that, right? We like to have that inside track or to find out what's going on with so-and-so, and that's not always productive. We can put others down. We can manipulate things, saying things to stir things up. Now, often we just don't see it, right, in the moment. We maybe feel a little convicted that we're maybe shouldn't be saying a certain thing, but it's like, oh, in the moment, this is good, right? I want to know more. I think we all can relate to that, and it just takes wisdom to know what to do in those situations. But with the internet and social media, we see this every day as we yell at each other over issues and let anger get the best of us, and that fire is started, right? And it's blazing. It's burning on CNN. It's burning on Fox News, on CNBC. It's burning in that endless news cycle, right? That thing, people latch on to something, and over it gets turned around or turned over in people's mouths by the tongue. Again, recently, there was a story of a teenager who took his life after he was bullied on social media. I mean, horrible things like this happen, right, all around us. The tongue is a deadly weapon when it's used incorrectly. And so we just need to remember that. I had a recent example of I was on Facebook and somebody was talking about something. It was something politics related. I don't remember all what it was, but to me, it was somebody that should have known better, or I kind of knew, and it's like I didn't agree with them. And I was about ready to type a comment, but then I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I don't think this is going to add anything to the conversation. It was a little snarky. You know, have you ever been there where you're like, you can easily just type those few words and kind of, ha ha, got them there, got my point across. But it just wasn't something that in the end was helpful, right? It was just going to fan the flame. One more comment on that thread that just people are going back and forth on. Now, I say all this not to say that we shouldn't interact on social media, right? I mean, it has its place to say what we need to say and free speech and all of that. But we need to be careful that we're not fanning the flame. It was interesting, too. I don't really know that person anymore. I had been around them a few years ago. And so I just started thinking about it. It's like, I don't really know them anymore. And this is just going to maybe damage our relationship. I mean, it can damage the people that we know, too, right? But it's so easy when there's kind of that separation of a computer screen. Probably not going to change that person's mind by my snarky comment. But we can think of many different ways that we fan the flame even more. Maybe you can identify with that. So we've looked at the important tongue. We've looked at the inflamed tongue, how this fire is burning. What do we see next? We see the inconsistent tongue. I'm going to skip ahead to verses 9 to 12 for this one, and then we'll come back to the others. But it says, starting at verse 9, with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Can you identify with that one as well? I know I can. The worship service is just a few minutes ended, and you're headed home, and you've just used that tongue to praise the Lord, right? But then you or I say something hurtful to our spouse or our kids, or we get into an argument with a family member, whatever it is, we're inconsistent with our tongues. And this is what James is bringing out. With the same tongue, we praise the Lord. In that same tongue, we now verbally lash someone or just say something that isn't kind. And I think we all know what that's like. James uses several analogies to explain. There's this fresh and salt water can't come from the same spring. A salt spring can't produce fresh water, is his point. In verse 12, he asks whether a fig tree bears olives or a grapevine bears figs. So he's using that example of, you know, the fruit of something has to be consistent with what kind of bush it is or tree. Every good tree bears good fruit, right? Jesus brought this out as well, where he talks about in Matthew 7. He says, you will know people by their fruit. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. So the point James is making is that our tongue reveals what's inside of us, right? That's what Jesus was always getting at. What the overflow, what comes out of us, is revealing who we are on the inside. And so this is who we really are, right? And it overflows. It reveals our sin problem, the inconsistent tongue. And I invite you to think about how you've done that in your life as well. And then finally, we see the impossible tongue. The impossible tongue in verses 7 to 8, if you want to look there. He says, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. So it's this idea that, man, we have tamed so many things in the wild, right? But we have not tamed the tongue. Joseph Telushkin, who's an author, he wrote the book Words That Hurt, Words That Heal. He often lectures on the impact of words. And he asks an audience as a part of that if they can go 24 hours without saying any unkind words with another person. So he asked that question, can you go 24 hours without saying anything unkind? Invariably, he talks about how a small number of people will raise their hand and be kind of brave and say that they can. And others laugh. Quite a few will call out and just say, no, I'm not able to do that. They admit it, right? And he says this, those of you who can answer yes must recognize that you, when he's saying yes, of not being able to go 24 hours, you must recognize that you have a serious problem. If you cannot go 24 hours without drinking liquor, you are addicted to alcohol. If you cannot go 24 hours without smoking, you are addicted to nicotine. Similarly, if you cannot go 24 hours without saying unkind words about others, then you have lost control of your tongue. Ouch, right? Our definition of addiction often is that we can't go very long without, you know, taking part in something, a drink or a smoke, whatever. And his point is that how many of us are addicted to saying wrong things? And I think we all can identify with that. We need help. So I've talked about all the negatives of the tongue. Should we just stop there? Is there hope for our tongues? If I stopped here, this would be a very depressing sermon if I closed in prayer right now, right? But the good news is there is hope for our tongues. James is really just setting the stage, right? He's bringing out this fact that the tongue seems impossible. But there is hope, I believe. Two words come to mind, but God. We need supernatural help with our tongues. And so I just want to share maybe a few applications as we close here this morning to help us with that. And the first truth is that to have any fighting chance in taming the tongue, we have to know Christ personally as our Savior, right? If we want to have any fighting chance, we have to have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in us, to help us. Now, it's true by common grace that there are unbelievers who can bridle the tongue. They have enough truth and they know right and wrong enough that they can actually, you know, sometimes they do it better than us, right? That's the real convicting thing, that sometimes unbelievers can act in a better way in certain situations. But if we really want help in this area, we have to know Jesus, right? We have to have the Holy Spirit helping us, that secret weapon of the Spirit that can help us in those situations to help control our tongues. Otherwise, we're dead in the water. We must have the Spirit so we don't lash out and be hurtful. This is the only way that we can control our tongues. The reality is, too, I wanted to point out that sometimes we need to use our tongues to speak truth, right? Controlling the tongue doesn't just mean we never speak or we never say anything hard to someone else. But I think it's more bringing out the fact that it has to be done in love, right? It has to be done in a way that builds, as best you can, is the motive is love toward someone else. But maybe you've been in that situation before where your blood pressure is starting to rise, you're getting angry, you're with someone, and the Holy Spirit helps you to see that if you were to say something at that point, it probably would be something that would be hurtful, right? Have you ever been in that situation where you're convicted that I just need to stay silent right now because it's not going to be helpful what I have to say? But other times the Spirit gives us the words to say in a difficult situation, and we're able to say it with love. And so that takes wisdom, right, to know what that looks like in each of our lives. But the only way we can even begin to control our tongues is to have a saving relationship with Christ and the Spirit helping us with that. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So Jesus is bringing out that idea that what comes out of our mouths is a result of what's inside of us, right? If you could picture an overflowing cup, what's running out of the cup? Well, whatever was poured into that cup is actually running out of it, right? It's the overflow. And that's the idea that eventually what we put in is going to come out. Overflow, the Greek word translated as overflow, means abundance. In other words, it's what we're delighting in. It's what we're filling ourselves with. And so the question for you and I is, are we pouring in good things into our hearts so that the overflow is the fruit of the Spirit and is positive and noble and holy and God-pleasing? Are the things that we are delighting in the things that God wants to fill our hearts? And so Jesus brings this out. There's just an analogy that what we put in is what's going to come out. And so we need to think about that in our lives. What are we pouring into our hearts? What are we pouring into our lives? That makes a difference in what comes out. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." So how do we be wise with our words? There's so many things that could be said about this, right, if we had a lot of time. But maybe we need to pray this prayer at the start of each day from Psalm 19:14. Which says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So it's this idea that are we praying to the Lord that the words of our mouths, notice too, the meditation of our heart, those two are connected. May they be acceptable in your sight. So maybe that's something to think about for each of us, that we start the day, especially if we struggle with the tongue, as we all do in various ways, praying a prayer like that. One person said that they pray this prayer every day. It's actually kind of a paraphrase of Psalm 19. They said, "May every utterance and every word that comes out of my mouth and every musing and thought of my heart bring you pleasure and delight, O Lord. Let me always speak as if I were in your presence, for truly you are always with me. Help me to remember that you are my Redeemer, the one who saved me and who will continue to forgive me when I fail. And you are my rock and the source of my strength." So who can tame the tongue? The answer is no one can, right? Only God can help us in this area. And James also brings out at the start that we're going to blow it, right? Who is perfect? Who does this perfectly? No one. So that means that when we blow it with our spouse or our kids or a coworker, that we repent and we say, I'm sorry that I said that. Or when you find out that something's hurtful, are we people that are willing to repent of that? But I hope these thoughts from James chapter 3 are helpful. Again, there's so much more that could be said about this. But what does that mean for us as God's people? To control our tongues, to speak truth. Yes, that doesn't mean we just keep our mouths shut. But maybe sometimes that is the application when we know we're going to say something that we shouldn't. But how do we honor God with our tongues? Let's ask God to give us wisdom in that, especially in the times that we're in our country and in our world, speaking truth in love and using our tongue to glorify God in heaven. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that these are not new things. Even think about the times that the apostles lived under with authorities that were very evil. And they probably struggled with this just as we do in our world. As a matter of fact, I know they did. Lord, help us here in 2024 to use our tongues in a way that honors you. And just help us to apply this passage to our lives, to know what it looks like, to tame the tongue. Lord, we know that we won't do it perfectly. We know that we will blow it. When we do, I ask that you would give us the grace to say we're sorry and to start to repair and to try to start over in any way that we have sinned in this area. Lord, help us through your Spirit to control our tongues. Help us to know what it means to speak truth, yes, but do it in love and in a way that honors you. We ask that we do thank you that you are the one, the only one that can help us in this area, for we are helpless in so many ways, given in our own flesh. Help us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing.